Welcome to the Business and Leadership Channel. My name is Michelle Boulay, and I'm so honored to be a sponsor here at this amazing conference because it's my passion to help you connect to your own inner leader and let that transform the businesses and relationships you create. I'm a life coach and healer and an internationally recognized award-winning dance artist. And dancing taught me to listen to my own inner voice and let that guide me to my success. A very common thing that happens for business owners, creatives, and leaders is that you're so close to your next goal or breakthrough and then you stop. Doubt kicks in, worry, procrastination, fear, overwhelm, which kill growth in your business and creative process. So I'm giving a talk here on Saturday, October 24th, where you'll learn tools so that you can show up with clarity and belief in yourself and your ideas, consistency to keep showing up, and the embodied and intellectual understanding to move you gracefully through the challenges you'll meet as you grow, as you go for your goals. If you can't make it live, pick up your phone now, go to Instagram or Facebook, find me, follow me, and DM me the word success, and I'll send you the free resource I'll be sharing at my presentation. It's also in the show notes. However, I do recommend you attend live here or at my main stage presentation to get the full scope of what I'll be sharing to help you realize your creative dreams. And now, please enjoy this next presentation.
Tonight, I present to you Dr. Paul T.P. Wong. He is a registered psychologist who originated meaning-centered counseling and therapy, an integrative, existential, and positive approach to counseling, coaching, and psychotherapy. Dr. Wong is also the founding president of the International Network on Personal Meaning and the International Society for Existential Positive Psychology and Psychotherapy. His three treasures of his existential positive psychology are, number one, true positivity is the ability to see light in the darkness. Number two, true success is to embrace the dark side of life and turn it into the foundation for achieving one's highest value. And number three, a good life is a balancing act between opposites. So if you have any questions throughout the presentation tonight, please put them in the Q&A and we'll save them for the end of Dr. Wong's performance presentation. And so now, Dr. Wong, I hand it over to you. Welcome.
Thank you. Share. You forgot?
Click the PowerPoint at the bottom. I see it open.
PowerPoint.
At the bottom.
Okay.
Perfect.
Okay. Right now, we may be going through the darkest chapter of 21st century. But at the same time, it may be the greatest opportunity for us to transform ourselves and our society, okay? We can hear that many voices coming for our attention. The two loudest voices are, one is say, let's focus on the light. Let's meet the pandemic with body full of joy. Let's overcome the pandemic with our character strengths. The other loud voice is voice to focus on darkness. It's a chorus of gloom and doom. Say, oh, the lockdown, the mandatory restriction of business, or brain damage, or there will be pandemic fatigue and health problems for years to come. Neither approach tell the whole story. So tonight I want to focus on the middle way, the way of reason, the voice of reason. So usually the middle role is less popular, but it's more helpful. The middle way says that we need to overcome darkness in order to see the light. More importantly, we can become the light ourselves so that we can expel darkness, okay? That the person who has set example of the middle way is Viktor Frankl, okay? Now, Frankl's provocative wisdom on suffering was hard earned from his years of experience of suffering in Nazi concentration camp. And he has also survived two world wars and the Great Depression in the 30s. So therefore, we better listen to him to find out how he can help us in the present, okay? But my first point is that if the Holocaust was survivable, then all adversities, including the pandemic, are survivable. So there are two schools of thoughts, okay? One school of pessimist saying that it is insane to say that Holocaust is survivable, because the condition that was so bad is not for human being. Even religion was a survivable, because if God exists, he would not allow such horror to happen. Okay? So that is school of pessimists. Okay? But Frankl went through the same horrors, but he came up with a different answer. Okay? He came up with a spiritual solution. Okay? Now this is how it happened, because of his many years of cultivation of inner resources in Judaism, in existential philosophy, and psychology. So after many years of cultivation of his inner resources, so he was able to exercise his spiritual freedom, okay? Now this is very, very important. The spiritual freedom is not the ordinary kind of freedom that you do anything you want. The spiritual freedom comes from the spiritual dimension of our soul. Okay. The spiritual dimension says that I can say no to all the dark forces. I can say no to my genes. Say no to my carnal desire, to my pride. I say no to all the power, dark power that may be. I say no to my environment. So the reason why I say no, because we also have the innate ability of self-determination, of being responsible for choosing my destiny, choosing my path. So this responsibility cut both ways. You can say yes to the dark voices and cause all the troubles and then don't blame God. The other alternative is to say yes to our conscience, to the still small voice of reason and of God. To do what is right. So that solution may be offensive to some atheists, but that solution still works. Today, I hear work for millions of people going through suffering and darkness, okay? Now, because of his experience of the horrors of Nazi death camp, where his life was surrounded by all kinds of tragedies during economic meltdown and during Nazi occupation. So his worldview was a dark one. So he came up with the tragic triad: death, pain or suffering, and guilt. Well, people might think, oh, Frankl is a pessimist. But Frankl was beyond pessimism. Let me tell you why. So that's a reality, okay? Life is hard. Life is full of suffering. Our personal experience is the fear of death. And our personal experience, we all experience suffering and pain. We all suffer from guilt feelings for not doing the right thing or for our mistakes, for our failures. So the tragic triad is a common human experience. But Frankl said, fear not. There is the solution. Let's talk about guilt first. You know, what is the solution for guilt? The solution for guilt is to man up, own up your mistakes, and to take responsibility to repent for your wrongdoings. If you repent, you get stuck in your guilt. There's no chance of improvement. So repentance leads to rebirth. No death, no life. So the other side of responsibility is that you are responsible to make positive changes. See how responsibility changed the whole thing. Responsibility not only repair you of the worst guilt, but also show you the way how to improve yourself. That's how responsibility is the answer to guilt. You know, how about suffering and pain? Frankl's answer said, well, if you listen to your conscience, the conscience will show you how to overcome suffering and pain. Not by avoidance, not by evil schemes, by doing the right thing. If you consult your conscience, your spiritual, your better angels, you consult your spirit, you always direct you away from your selfish schemes to self-transcendence of doing what is right, doing what helps your fellow human beings do what's under God. Okay? It's a conscience. Now, what solution for death? We all die one day. So faith is important. Your faith enables you to see a invisible transcendental reality, which may be more real than the things you can feel and see and smell with your senses. So there is a transcendental reality where full of mystery, full of beauty, full of wonder. So that is the open system allow us to see the vast resources or spiritual resources which reside in the transcendental reality and where there is a higher power of God. Faith also able to do the things you do not think you can do. Faith allow you to scale the high mountains. You think it's too difficult for you, too dangerous. Faith allow you to do impossible. So that's why faith allow you, give you the power to achieve a better life regardless of circumstances. So this light triad can be considered as the light triad. These are the better angels that make you a better person, make this world a better place. Now, if you say, I don't believe in God, I don't believe this, I believe everything is relative. I don't believe that God is good and bad, and I don't believe in all this nonsense. The alternative is the dark triad. You know why? Because if you want to deny your sin, your past mistake, the terrible sin you have done to other people, you deny it to cover it up. Then you have to lie about it. So that will make you a pathological liar. Also, you may cover your insecurity, your inferiority with overcompensation and pretend to be the Superman, to be the best, to be all powerful. You'll be acting like a narcissist. So by denying your guilt and cover up your inferiority, it makes you a narcissist. Similarly, if you say you deny the importance of conscience, you deny this absolute value, that's absolute grounding, that's spiritual grounding for morality. If you do everything subjective, everything is right, everything is relative. So if you deny the conscience, then what do you do when you suffer? You scapegoat other people, you blame other people for your misery, and you lash out, you attack other people for your misery. Then you serve your right, you cause my suffering. I have the right to attack you. So that makes you a psychopath. Because in so doing, you have no empathy for other people's suffering, because other people are reason for your own suffering. So therefore, if I cannot enjoy life, well, make sure you don't enjoy life either. You will all suffer then. So you try to bring people down with you, or to sacrifice other people for your success. So that makes you a psychopath. Now how about death? Now if you deny there is God, there is afterlife, and there is a judgment, you'll say, oh, life is too short. I better get as much as I can from this world. So you'll do anything to gratify your ambition, your desire for power and money. You manipulate people and no consideration for the ethical and legal consequences. That will make you a what? Will make you a Machiavellian. You see? So by denying the spiritual solution, you join the dark forces. You reject the dark force, you join the dark force. So by joining the dark force, being controlled by the dark triad, not only make your own life miserable, but make you a toxic person that will pollute the world, okay? So that's why, so faculty teaching also help us to to cure the sickness in our society. Okay? So self-transcendence, to be truly human, is to self-transcend. Okay? The more you forget about yourself, the more human you are. Okay? Transcendence is to turn away from our selfishness or pettiness or egotistic ideas or narrowness towards other people, towards God. It's like the great commandment of love others as yourself and serve God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. So self-contentment is the essence of the greatest spiritual law. Okay? So it's the antidote to our selfishness and to our suffering. It's similar to the Buddha's no self concept, or similar to the Christian teaching of having our ego crucified with Christ on the cross. That will liberate us from our carnal desires and selfishness. So Frankl says that what is to give life must endure the burning. You become the light by transcending the dark side of life, including your own shadow. But more importantly, you can become the light through self-sacrifice, to let yourself be a living sacrifice, a burning candle to drive away the darkness around you. Be the light of the world, okay? So my existential past psychology is built on the foundation of logos therapy and then proceed to integrate past psychology on one hand and existential psychology on the other hand, okay? So it's no longer just philosophical or therapeutical, but based on empirical science. So I try to extend and develop Frankl's basic ideas into testable models for research, okay? Now, the starting point of second wave parapsychology is very different from the first wave. The first wave parapsychology was born in peace and prosperity and designed for life in a neutral and positive territory. In contrast, the second wave parapsychology was born in times of war and adversity. And it's a design for all the suffering people as well as for the passive and neutral conditions to cover the whole spectrum of life. Now, also the second wave parapsychology believe that no one is immune from suffering. Evil and suffering can affect everyone, just as COVID-19. So I've been saying this for years. Nobody believed me. Nobody listened to me. Now, in the pandemic, people begin to listen. Oh, say, Frankl might be right. Wong might be right. Indeed, everybody's suffering. So what can I do about suffering, okay? So that is the question now, okay? So here's a model of Frankl's self-transcendence. You can see it's very elaborate. You read my paper, the many hypotheses that people can test. I developed several measures to measure self-meaning seeking, kind of meaning finding, and self-transcendence. So this is one example. I've developed lots of tests and there are a lot of empirical findings support self-transcendence. Okay. To summarize the three main points, I want to elaborate on the three main points of second wave past psychology. All these points are paradoxical. So it's very different from the binary thinking or linear thinking. It's paradoxical. The first point is that you want to be happy? You want to be positive? You want to be just, you know, the true positivity is not to deny darkness. The true positivity is the ability to see the light in darkness. Wow. That means that you can see the bright stars in the winter. You can have a invincible summer in the dead of winter. So that nothing can make you feel, nothing can bring you down to the depth of despair, because you can see, or you always can see the light at the end of the tunnel. You can always see a silver lining in a storm. You can always see the rainbow after the storm, or the rising sun in the middle of night. Wow, that's true positivity. You don't need to think about, oh, I need more positive to overcome negative. This one possibility will overcome all the negativity. How powerful that can be. The second thing is also paradoxical. You want to success? Sure. You'll be success entrepreneur. You want to be success coach or success as athlete? Now, remember, no pain, no gain. You have to experience the dark side of life, of failure, of opposition, of injury, of your own ego problems. You endure and embrace all the dark side so that you can get to the other side of all the things you dream of. All your dreams are on the other side of fear and suffering. You want true success? Do not avoid suffering pain, but embrace suffering pain, embrace failure. That is the sure guarantee that you achieve a breakthrough sooner or later to reach your dream. The last point, also paradoxical, that the good life is to not to focus on the positive. No. By focusing on the positive, you have small breaths. You have weaklings. You have people who don't know how to enjoy life, but don't know how to survive trauma. The good life is a balancing act between opposite forces. The universe exists in polarity. The opposites, not two opposite poles on the same continuum, but two separate dimensions. So when you try to navigate an optimum balance between two opposite dimensions, that gives you maximum flexibility. So sometimes you can have high self-control, high external control, both. Sometimes you can have high self-control, low external control, that old thinking, that they are the one dimension. But this, by believing that life consists of polarity of separate dimensions, that gives you a lot of flexibility in coping and in balancing. Okay. So that's how you achieve your happiness. I don't have to explain to you the diagram. But your happiness is not all a balance. All a matter of balance, self with others. Profit with humanistic values. Okay. Realistic pessimism about the difficulties and ideal optimism that we can still can achieve a dream. So mature happiness is all a matter of different kind of thinking that no longer think about what used to be considered as I'm pessimistic, negative, undesirable. Now, Samuel Brady Pascal say, all those bad things are necessary aspects of human existence. You want to complete well-being. Complete well-being consists of two parts. The good twin, and the evil twin. Light and darkness, good and evil. Complete well-being had to be a optimal balance between these two forces. So you are the light of the world, that the Bible says. Okay. Philosophers say the same thing, that in the darkness, you are the light. How? Transformation begins with seeing the light. It ends with becoming the light. It goes through four stages. Service, reflection. Examine your life. Have the courage to look into yourself. Okay, with the help of a coach or a therapist, don't run away from yourself. You can't. Doesn't matter where you go, to China, to Africa, to America, it doesn't matter where you go. The devil within you will still follow you. The shadow within you will still follow you. You want to overcome like a shadow, you gotta face the shadow, confront the shadow, confront your painful memories, and painful experiences, painful past. So you have to accept yourself. That's why an unexamined life is not worth living. Because if you do not examine your life, you'll be always a fool. Living your life as a fool. Living your life as a shallow, two-dimensional fool. You think life is all play and enjoyment. You're asking for trouble. So self-awareness happens when you are willing to remove your blinder. When you're willing to remove the mask, the persona, when you're willing to see the naked self with all its limitations we will all have, with all its failures we will all have, with all its pains we all have, with all its shames we all have. When you're able to look at yourself and become aware your need repentant, your need for self-improvement. That is the beginning. And after that, you determine, say, I'm going to take baby steps to improve myself towards my highest value. That is way beyond my self-interest, beyond my self pettiness. So when you determine to embark on a new journey or making baby steps, striving towards your highest ideals, that is the path of self-transcendence. That is the most promising way to lead a successful life, even in the worst of times. Okay, the last point I want to make, the last section, I still have 10 minutes, okay? The last 10 minutes we'll talk about self-transcendence can be applied for leadership and management. Right now, many business owners and organizational leaders are facing a terrible time. But with bad news all around us, with the political situation so uncertain, with devastation of economy, it is very difficult to go through this crisis. But I mentioned right at the beginning, the crisis is also the time for success, for the right people to show the heroism and to overcome. So the crisis is a differentiate the good people, the strong ones, with the people who know how to enjoy life, who are not prepared for life. Therefore, I'm in trouble, but it's happiness education. How to choose to be happy, happy, happy. Too much happiness made them weaklings. Okay? So, in hard times, those happiness seekers will not survive. I have to say that, okay? So, during that, so Robert Greenleaf, he learned from the Bible, saying that the best way is to be a servant leader. For the example of Jesus, the Bible says that whoever wants to be the first has to be the last. If you want to be a leader, you have to be servant first. So this idea began to catch on. Okay. So that research has shown that the servant leadership is actually the most flexible, the most adaptive leadership, okay? It is both people-oriented and task-oriented. It has the ability, the authority to demand quality performance. Not only demand, but helping them to improve themselves, to grow, to become the best workers, to become leaders. But at the same time, a servant leader also has the humility to learn from others, to admit their mistakes, and also the compassion to care for people, the empathy to understand people's struggle. But a good servant leader will not let the compassion and empathy take over and let the business go downhill. So he's still able to drag them and lead them go upward, okay? Now, the four actions that somebody will do. The first one is somebody has the courage to lead. A lot of dangers, they say, follow me, fear not, like Joshua in the Bible, okay? Don't be discouraged, fear not, to face uncertainty, danger, face all the giants, all the problems, there to live, not retreat. Face the danger, to say, well, don't give up. There's a will, there's a way. If we put our heads together, we can figure out what the best way to move forward. Do not let the difficulty discourage us. Secondly, assume leader set example of self-transcendence, trust transcendence, the willing to sacrifice themselves for the greater good. You know, they're able to work longer than everybody else. They're willing to do things nobody else wants to do. They show example how to save the company, how to save the country, a society, or the organization by willingly to go to the extra mile, to work, putting extra hours with lower pay in order to save the company. Yet learning how to save, how to sacrifice a small self for the big self. So that attitude of sacrifice for the greater good is essential for the survival of the group. But together we win. Together we overcome. So the second wave leadership is not just do it yourself, but do it together, helping each other. Okay? The third is that due to the struggle of going uphill against the mighty enemies or mighty forces, the soul leader also care for other people. I have a feeling of empathy and compassion for other, what others are going through, okay? But they don't allow this empathy and compassion to blind them from getting a job done. And fourthly, to see that their main job is to develop human resources, not just financial resources. The best resource in an organization is a human resource. Okay? Many children suffer because they do not know how to use the resources in the congregation. They all depend on professional pastors, hired hands. There are a lot of resources in the congregation. There are a lot of resources in ordinary, among the rank and files. So some leaders are willing to take time to help develop. For example, I have mentored many students, many people all around the world. What do I gain? Nothing. I don't get paid. I spend a lot of time. But my satisfaction is that I'm able to help other people to be better researchers, better clinicians, and better human beings, better leaders. Okay. So the fourth action is commitment to develop human resources. Now here is the lady I love. It's Iron Lady, the Iron Woman. Okay? We must have courage and faith to do the things you think you cannot do. Do not throw up your arms and say, oh, it's too difficult. It's too hard. I can't do it. It's impossible. Never say die. Never say impossible. With God, nothing is impossible. With faith, nothing is impossible. Shame on your Christians when they say, oh, impossible. Nothing is possible for people who have faith. The same point is that you got to keep the fire burning in your belly so that you can persevere in pursuing your dreams. Now, I'm 83-year-old man. I still could hardly wait to get up to my work because I there's so many work that's not finished yet. My worst fear is not death. My worst fear is to die without completing my work. So I hardly wait to get to work. I put in 10 hours a day. I just got a fire burning in me every day for 50 years. It's still burning. Do you have a fire in your belly? Do you have passion in your belly, in your heart? Number three, don't be afraid to sacrifice. Live yourself as a living sacrifice, as a candle burning every day in the dark. Because the world is so dark that we need to be the light in the world as a burning candle. The heart of some leader is self-sacrifice and self-transcendent to serve the greater good. That is a formula for success. My last point is that I started a research institute of flourishing and suffering to tell people, you want to flourish? Good, we all want to flourish. But the best way to flourish is through the gaze of suffering. Make suffering the rock bottom foundation for you to build a successful business, to build a successful life. So if you like my talk, become a member of IMGN and the Institute by check out my website, the website of IMGN, and let me know, okay? Thank you for listening. Now time for questions.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Dr. Wong. That was, I'm going to stop your screen share now, bring you back to full screen. Perfect. Gotcha. Someone in the chat is saying, dear Dr. Wong, thanks for a lot of leading us to face all the sufferings and embrace the dark side and achieve the real life value and be the light. A small candle also can light hundreds of candles. And your talk was so rich and such a good example of being the light. And if you have any questions, put them in the Q&A or the chat, but I do have a question, so we'll start with this one. How can we inoculate ourselves against those who inflict suffering on others in the name of a good cause? You mentioned that at the beginning, that people do that. How can we protect ourselves against that good cause?
Okay. Yeah. This is a loaded question, but an important question. So I always say, everything is a good side and bad side, okay? Self-transcendence, there are two sides. The good side, the bad side. The good side is to sacrifice ourselves to serve others, okay? Because the good side. The bad side is to use this idea of sacrifice for good cause to make other people suffer. See, to make other people suffer, say, I do this to you for the ideal. I do that to you, I make you suffer, I inflict pain on you because we are promoting a cause. So that's why under Nazi Germany, there's a book called the Ordinary People. Ordinary people can become psychopaths by following order. The obedient experiment. Ordinary people will shock other people because their experimenter told them so. So that's why we have to be very careful about ideology. Using ideology, in the name of ideology, to inflict pain on other people. That's why love is the answer. Love, okay? If anything's against the principle of love, that's not a true self-transcendence. Self-transcendence is based on compassion and love for people. Okay? Another question.
So do we protect ourselves against ideology by living that paradox?
See, love your neighbor as yourself. That has self-compassion and self-love. The good kind of self-love. Means take care of your health, take care of your mind, protect your body, protect yourself against comment, against Machiavellians, against psychopaths, against narcissists. We're against the dark forces, right?
Right. Beautiful. Thank you. We do have one more a couple more questions here. Hi, Dr. Wong. Thanks for sharing some of your concepts with us. Just a question. How can I introduce the concept of self-transcendence to some of my atheist friends? Can I frame it as a sort of tragic heroism that allows us to become more virtuous, empathetic, and generally better people?
Good. So that's a question I was asked. Wherever, all over the world, wherever I go, okay? Can that's why Frankl is very careful. He doesn't use the word God, he used the word super meaning, okay? Or super master, okay? So our higher power, our God, we all the capital, okay? God means highest ideal. He said, God, highest ideal. Wherever your highest ideal, he always say, it's to this is what I say to atheists, okay? You should act as if there's a God, as if the high authority to which you are accountable. So because people suffer, people they pray God. This you say that you know God, that God is dead, that's nihilism. Because that, then everything is permissible, everything is possible. So Nietzsche told us the danger of saying no God. So you know God, you say no God, you create a God. Say, oh, don't do it, God is watching you. So there's no man around in darkness. You're tempted to do bad things. You're alcoholic. You're tempted to drink you are recovered alcoholic. Now you're tempted to drink again. Oh, nobody watching. Then remember, there is God watching you. There's somebody watching you. So you act as if you're God. That will teach you the wisdom of not to listen to the voice of the devil, the voice of temptation. Okay? Also, believing in God means believing in an ideal, your highest ideal. So God can be embodiment of the classical ideals of truth, goodness, and beauty. If you devote your life to seek to use a talent to create something good, beautiful, that will help create some objective value, you're able to create some objective value, then your life, people remember you as a creative and kind person. So you don't believe in God, you have to act as if as a God. Act as if there is transcendental values. So you need to have some concept of a moral compass to guide you. In this world, all the con artists everywhere, my computer gets all kinds of scams, okay? That many people want that romance, they fall into the scam of this romance scam. Then people get rich before the scam. So there's so much need, so many needs in human being. If you don't have the wisdom of fearing God, of fearing a higher power, will be formed a trap. Get rich quick. Oh, romance, beautiful romance. You believe anything people lie, with all the lies. So is it the best for you to have some concept of higher authority to which you are responsible, you are accountable for? Okay, next question.
Great. I think that's a great ideal as seeing God as an embodied higher ideal. And you mentioned Marcus Aurelius, and that's actually these four candles behind me represent in my life the four pillars of Stoicism: justice, temperance, wisdom, and courage. That's a lifetime. Just those four things is a lifetime's worth of practice. So I love that. We have another question here. Dear Dr. Wong, sincere gratitude for sharing your wisdom and supporting our well-being with your work. How can I cultivate purpose while facing the cynics? How to cultivate purpose?
It's just very, very simple. Very simple. Your purpose, it depends on knowing yourself, okay? For example, an orange tree, the purpose of the orange tree is to grow the best orange, right? That's purple orange tree. And the fish purpose is to swim in the water, not flying. If fish can fly, the fish can't fly, okay? So you have to understand that we are all purpose-driven animals. Even animals have some purpose, the purpose of finding food, whatever. So, but we have a higher purpose of imagining a better future. See, imagination. See, the right brain of creativity, imagination, and faith also imagine a better future. So we have, whether you use our the right brain, not just reason. Human beings are not completely rational beings. We do many things that you're rational. I can show you the scientific research. We have all kinds of biases, attribution bias, judgment bias, and reasoning, logical bias. We have all kinds of biases. So, you know, the purpose, we need to say, well, the first thing is that believe again. Yeah. Believe, meaning, and purpose. There's a purpose and meaning in life that can be found. Now, this is a very important principle. We always find what we believe. We always see what we value. See, all belief or value determine what we see, what we find. So you, William James says that if you believe that life has meaning, you're more likely to find meaning. See, William James, the father of psychology. You believe there's a meaning, you're more likely to find. The same principle, right? So you have to start with belief. Think about that. Secondly, you have to believe that every person was born for something, like a tree, orange tree for orange. Everybody has a unique purpose, could be unique for every person, okay? Everybody is born for a purpose. I cannot be fully happy if I try to do something else. I try to be a writer, I try to be a violinist, I try to be a doctor, but these are not my talents, where my talents lie. But why choose psychology? That's for me. I'm excited that I find it so easy because I have a gift for psychology. I don't have a gift for violin. I practiced a long time. I can still cannot go very far. I learned painting for many years. I still cannot go very far as an artist, as a painter. I tried to write novels. I read books out of books, but still lousy. It's not a good novel. So you have to try. Yeah? You never figure it out in your head. But jumping into the river of life and swim to find the right stroke, to find your talent, your ability. You have to learn by doing, discover your purpose by trying different things and engage in life. Whatever the opportunity, that'll be how it looks, doesn't matter. Any opportunity to do something, work that creates value for other people, whether waiting on a table or doing dishes. I work as cleaning washrooms. I work as a coolie, carry things. Just 90 pounds. I carry a 100 pound bag in my back. I try everything. I think everything. See, the value of work is not the work itself, but your attitude. You have the right attitude of doing your best to your creativity to serve other people. No job is too low. Those is below you. So by doing it, see, by knowing your talent, your interest, your value, the second step is knowing your value, then the balance between realism and idealism. Realism means that you have to do something to bring food to the table, okay? do anything to support yourself. I work for many things as a typist. I work as a typist. I do everything to feed myself. But I never give up my idea of being a professor, being a psychologist. So I didn't go to university until I was 29. I go to class with 17, 18-year-old young people. So the second thing is that don't be afraid to try different things. And also Franco now said, don't waste time to look at ultimate meaning forever. Franco liked to talk about meaning in terms of specific meaning in each situation. Now this is the logic. In every situation you say, well, what is the right thing for me to do? If you do the right thing in each situation, that will lead to, naturally lead to meaningful life. Because in every situation, say, what for me, with my talent, with my ability, what the right thing for me to do in that situation? You will ask yourself this question, you not live a wasted life. Your life will be useful and meaningful to every situation you like meaningful. So together, you will have a meaningful life. So it doesn't matter, like you do not have find a calling, have you found your mission, it doesn't matter. Don't say, sit down and wait. Just do whatever you can do in every situation to keep yourself active and engaged in society, in life. But doing the right thing in every situation, the right attitude, or create something to help other people.
We're out of time for questions, but I do encourage you to reach out at the links that Dr. Wong put in the final slide of his presentation.
Okay, you can ask me questions through the website, okay?
Perfect. Good. Thank you. Yeah, so I really encourage everyone to do that. Hang on for 1 minute. We want to ask you one final question, but just some final announcements that this recording is free for 48 hours on the Embodiment Conference portal. So if you'd like to rewatch it and digest it again, you can check it out there, or you can own the full package. It's at a discounted price during the conference, and that allows you to own the full Embodiment Conference library for life and digest years worth of material in your own time. And the links are in the chat now to join the Embodiment Conference Facebook group, to go to the portal. Everyone's saying thank you so much, Dr. Wong, and saying kind words. And one last question for you is, what is your top tip for embodiment? Your top tip to stay embodied for us?
I mentioned earlier, keep busy, keep fire burning in your belly, with the fire in your belly, and striving towards a goal.
Lovely. Thank you so much. Every day.
Not one day, feel like every day.
Every day. There is so much wisdom in your presentation, and I felt like I hung on to every word. So thank you so much for staying up late with us tonight. And thank you everyone for joining us. And we hope to see you on the next presentation on the Leadership Channel. Enjoy the rest of the Embodiment Conference. Bye-bye.